I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Which are not only financing the invasion of the country, but also telling illegal aliens to vote in the United States elections. They are telling illegal aliens, non-citizens, to come vote for Joe Biden. That's your boss. This is corruption at the deepest level.
He will do whatever he can to destroy me. He said, I do not want you to solve this during the presidential election. There was a policy bill. There was a policy change that would have significantly addressed the problems at the border. And instead, you all on the other side of the aisle sabotaged it, where you baselessly impeached the secretary who's trying to solve our problems at the southern border because you want to win it. You want to win in November.
The gentleman's time has expired.
You don't want to solve the problem.
The gentleman's.
Yeah, the Republicans do want to win in November, but they didn't impeach Mayorkas for that. They impeached him because of what we've got at the border. Total chaos, open border. We had no country if we don't have a border. Now, you were listening to Dan Goldman counter Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, no, you guys are responsible, and you want this border crisis to continue. Of course, he didn't say the word crisis, did he? He said, you want the border to remain as it is because you just want to have that in play for the election. You know what? If they close the border today, riddle me this. If they close the border today and no one else gets in, no one gets in starting effective tomorrow, are you still going to be worried about illegal immigration that has already happened, and illegals already in our country, and fentanyl and other drugs already in our country, and children trafficked into our country before they did shut the border? Are you not going to be worried? Of course you're going to be. It is not going to go away. They think it's a magic wand that the Republicans are making it all up anyway. That's not the issue. Every poll shows immigration is at the top, along with inflation. Now, that's a whole nother rabbit hole we could go down into. But right now, if they shut down the border today, that does not erase all of those inside. Last report I saw, 600,000 gotaways just since October. And if you're going to estimate how many we have, Marjorie Taylor Greene at one point in her grilling of Mayorkas said 10 million, could be 12 million, and it could be north of that, as far as I'm concerned. And that's just across the southern border. We know we've caught many coming across the Canadian border. And, of course, numerous of members of those coming across are military-age young men from China. China. Mayorkas continues to insist we're doing everything right. If you're doing it right, you are absolutely inept at your job. But you're doing what Joe Biden and the woke crowd want. I don't wish harm on anyone. But if it happens to anyone, I want it to happen to members of the social contagion that we've got existing in this country right now. Those that believe that, you know, we're fine with just letting America go to hell and be inundated by illegals. And of course, they're still trying to decide where to put them. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but we've got, again, some coming forward and saying, even in New York, and then L.A., I'll give you the exact example from L.A., but first let me set the stage for you. Welcome aboard. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. First of 2 hours, we're here Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we're streaming video. You can watch it at Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. You miss anything, you can pull it up as an audio and our video podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And then push that share button to send it on to others. That magnifies this program immediately. And, of course, you can also push subscribe. We'll make sure it gets into your mailbox every day so you don't have to wait on it. You have a life to live. I certainly understand that. So the impeachment trial of Mayorkas beginning in the Senate, but, of course, we've already got Schumer stating, I'm just going to run it through to dismiss it. But I mentioned a moment ago the L.A. mayor as one of the many doing this. Here's the L.A. mayor, Karen Bass. You want to guess which party she belongs to? That's a stupid question, Larry. We know. It's Democrat. She is pleading with, quote, the most fortunate of us to help fund housing for homelessness. She said, we will not hide people, but what we will do is house people. Somebody wrote a line. They thought, this sounds like a great line. We will not hide people. What we will do is house people. So she is asking of the rich inside Los Angeles in that area, would you take some into your home, your buildings, to help take care of the 40,000 homeless? As she does say, the crisis on our streets is nothing less than a disaster. Now, she has this Inside Safe program, which moved over 21,000 into temporary shelters, but they still can't do it. So they are acknowledging by asking the wealthy to step up and speed up housing purchases for the homeless. That's right. You got money, let's buy some housing for the homeless. I'm sure they'll take good care of it. I don't see anywhere where the mayor is opening up her house. I don't see where the governor, Newsom, is opening up the governor's mansion. I don't see any of the Hollywood elites coming forward and saying, I've got extra room. I could camp out in my garage, my six-car garage, and keep the cars outside. Or they could sleep under the cars so my cars could stay in the garage. I don't see them making any offer like that. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, in talking and grilling yesterday to Mayorkas, pointed something out. She said, you know, there are flyers we located at some of these NGOs that are handing out down in countries where they're trying to bring people to our country. The NGOs are non-government organizations supposedly helping those illegals come to our country. Just listen to this.
Mr. Secretary, the Oversight Project released a bombshell report last night on your connection to the dark money NGO industrial complex of illegal immigration. I know you saw this from one of my colleagues just earlier. They found flyers throughout the Resource Center Matamoros refugee camp in Mexico telling illegal aliens, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. Eyewitnesses saw the flyers also being handed out to migrants who were using RCM for assistance in coming to the United States. In an audio recording, the founder of RCM, Gabby Zavala, by the way, we maybe should subpoena her to the committee, agreed that they need to help as many people as possible before President Trump gets reelected. RCM is an operation that houses functions for the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which helps migrants enter the United States.
Yeah, that's what they do. And they're passing out these flyers. Remember to vote for Joe Biden. Now, how are they going to be able to do that? They're illegal. They're not supposed to. Mayorkas said, we don't have anything to do with the elections. We don't have anything to do with them. And yet the other time, he also added in the same breath almost, election integrity is one of our prime concerns. Well, which is it? You either have something to do with elections or you don't. Technically, legally, you don't have anything to do with it. Illegally, and skirting around any technicalities, you're helping them get here so they can vote the way you want. And she had also pointed out that Mayorkas is on one of the boards, and they got these flyers down there trying to create more people to vote for them. This is what we're dealing with. And you want another an example of maybe a possible true conflict? Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, talking to Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm about something he found.
Secretary, all I have to say is this record is just deplorable. It is despicable. It is outrageous that hundreds of officers in the Energy Department are trading shares. It is outrageous that you misled us. It is outrageous that you are continuing to mislead us. And it is outrageous you're going to conferences and events funded by foreign billionaires using dark money to try to influence our politics. This has got to change. And frankly, you should go.
You should go. Now, this is all coming during a Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee hearing reviewing the Department of Energy's 2025 budget request, and he brought up the Stock Act. In her early tenure in leading the Department of Energy, as revealed, Granholm had violated the Stock Act 9 times, not an oversight, 9 times. She didn't disclose $240,000 worth of stock sales within the legally mandated time frame, and also her husband owned shares of Ford Motor Company and 6 unnamed individual companies. She also owned shares of those as well that are apparently tied to energy beneficiaries or whatever she does. He said, you neglected to report this to the committee for months afterwards. You should go. You should resign. And then there's this other issue. She has put a pause on LPG, liquid gas that we've been exporting from our country to other nations that need energy. She got into an argument and a debate with Florida Senator Rick Scott. He said, when you shut that down, you obviously hurt my state because we were exporting a lot of liquid petroleum, liquid propane gas, things of that nature, and you shut it down. She said, no, no, we're just pausing it. Pause? Oh, here we go again.
From the standpoint of what's going on in the world, this is the stupidest decision ever. So can you explain it to me?
Yeah, just to clarify a point, this is a pause. It is not a halt.
Why would we pause?
So that we can evaluate, as we do and are required to do, what is in the public interest. We do a study every few years. Right now is when we're doing this study to determine whether the enormous increase
Did Russia pause going into Ukraine? Has Iran paused?
All of the current exports are still happening. All of the current authorizations, which goes up to 48 billion cubic feet, are all proceeding.
Did you pause the new pending export projects?
But yes. Everything that is, we are currently the largest exporter of liquefied natural gas, and we will remain
the largest exporter
of liquefied natural gas.
First off,
it is a temporary pause.
Do you understand what you're doing to our allies?
The impacts.
Secretary,
We've talked with our allies.
What are you doing to our allies? Okay.
We've talked with our allies about this. They have very well understand that this is a temporary pause while we do an analysis of what the impacts
are in the United States. What do you have to now?
I'm happy to tell you.
Stop and think about it for a second. The world is at war. They need our energy.
Yeah, they need our energy. And she said, they understand. They don't understand anything. They don't have any option. And so you do this review. Why do it now with the world basically on fire in many spots and growing? Why do an analysis now? I agree with the Florida Senator Rick Scott, that this is stupidity. And, of course, while Donald Trump is tied up in court as they try to keep him off the campaign trail, Joe Biden is actually on the campaign trail yesterday in Scranton and, of course, doing what he does best when he is making complete sentences, and that would be lying.
Donald Trump looks at the world differently than you and me. He wakes up in the morning in Mar-a-Lago thinking about himself, how he can help his billionaire friends gain power and control and force their extreme agenda on the rest of us. Listen to what he says. He says, quote, I'll be dictator on day one. Quote, I am your retribution. He promises, quote, a bloodbath if he loses. This guy denies January 6th. Listen to what he says, because you know he means it. I wake every morning thinking about how to make life better like you do for working and middle-class families here in Scranton and all across the country, where the power and the freedom rest with you and we the people.
Excuse me, I'm going to be sick. We still have the vomit pail in here because I'm going to need it after listening to that. Trump said, I'll be dictator long enough to get rid of all these things that Biden screwed up. And then we'll go back to being a Republican, do things the way we're supposed to. And the bloodbath was referenced, what's going to happen if you continue to push American workers out of gas vehicles and those companies that are building them and those who rely on those jobs when we're not ready for full electric right now. And he acknowledges January 6th, but you don't have anything to say that he did it or encouraged it or anything, do you? If they had, they would have said so. They don't have that information. In the meantime, when we're talking about areas that are on fire, obviously look to the Middle East. Here's a report from Fox on Israel and Iran.
The Israeli military confirms there will be a response to Iran's weekend missile and drone attack, saying it'll be done in a way and at a time Israel chooses.
There's always a fear of escalation, but we are not looking for escalation. We are looking to make sure that Iran doesn't do this.
The scope of Israel's retaliation is unclear as the country's war cabinet debates its response. But one of Israel and Iran's closest neighbors in the Middle East is urging calm. Jordan's foreign minister says the country won't let anyone put their citizens in danger and will confront anyone who does.
Our message is clear to everyone, to Israel and Iran, that we will not allow you to turn Jordan into a war zone.
Iran, which has characterized the attack on Israel as retaliation for a deadly strike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, is warning Israel against risking a wider conflict.
If the Israeli regime makes a mistake, this time Iran's response, as Iran's military commanders announced, will not be minimal, but immediate and severe.
And in fact, the President Rossi said it would be a massive and harsh response. And then, of course, the leader of the Ayatollah said nothing would remain of Israel. In the meantime, in this country, citizens are being taught, I say citizens, some of them may or may not be, but they're being taught how to shout in Farsi, death to America.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian or whatever, all right? Now, I don't drink margaritas, but we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, Marg Bar.
Marg Bar.
Marg Bar Israel.
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 Thank you.
What does that mean?
Yeah, thank you. And then you add the word America to it, and you're shouting, death to America in Farsi. You're a multilingualist, and you're an idiot. Question. A riddle. Does America need a redeclaration of independence? I've got a guest coming up that's promoting that idea. Now, the reasoning behind it, you'll want to hear his statements and maybe weigh his thoughts. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019-941
and newstalkstl.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think we all agree this country is a mess right now, mainly because we've let wokeism take over, and I think the woke need to go back to sleep. But here's a interesting take on where we go next. Barry Hinckley is the primary drafter of the Redeclaration of Independence. He's a great-grandson of Colonel James Barrett, commander of the Minutemen, who engaged the British in 1775, and in fact, he was born April 18th, the day the writers left Boston to alert the Minutemen. He's also now a software entrepreneur, a former U.S. Senate candidate from Rhode Island. First of all, Barry, glad to have you on board, sir.
Great to be with you, Larry.
So let's pick up this issue that you basically, you are considered the primary drafter of the, quote, Redeclaration of Independence. Help us out here.
Well, I was inspired last fall, and I've been active in what we call the cause. And for many of you, I'm sure many of your patriotic listeners know that the cause was the nickname that our founders and pre-revolutionary activists called the effort to gain our independence from the British Empire. So, you know, I've been active in the cause for a while, and I go to a lot of patriotic events. And Tucker Carlson gave a speech last September, now known as the famous Wilmington speech, where he really challenged everyone to step up and be brave and get involved, or we're going to lose the country. So this was my effort with a few friends to do something about it.
And the mission here is to basically return the nation to a constitutional republic. And you want to reinforce we the people, not we the politicians will determine the fate of the country.
Yes, sir. It's really an accountability project. I mean, the problem we have, and one of the tenets, the 10 tenets of our Redeclaration of Independence is term limits. And we have representatives in Washington with a 98% reelection rate, and they come back and they ask for their job back every 2 or 6 years or whatever cycle they're on. And, they get bounced back to Washington and nothing seems to change. And we're hoping to use this with millions of signatures as a measuring stick of accountability. So when they come to ask for their job back, we can ask them, did you vote for a balanced budget? Did you vote for term limits? Did you vote to secure the border? Did you vote for secure elections? The basic things that all pass the 80-20 test that 80% of, you know, liberty-loving Americans want, and hopefully we can, you know, get some traction on this because, let's face it, you know, heretofore, the largest petition in U.S. history has been the petition for justice for George Floyd. I'm hoping that, and that was 19 million people. I would certainly hope we can get more than that to get behind our constitutional republic.
Well, of course, I can see where politicians, if they're faced with this, even if they claim to be Republicans, say, oh, yeah, yeah, I agree. But when they get into office, where's your accountability? Because they said, I agree with you, but when they get in there, maybe I don't agree so much.
Well, it's the term limits problem, and there's so much.
Well, but what would be what would be an adequate term? I mean, right now, we you're right. We've got people in there that should have been gone long ago. Mitch McConnell, I'm talking to you and others as well. But you do have some extent in place, if nothing else, mortality. But what would you be pushing for specifically?
Well, we thought a lot about this, Larry. And 12 years seems to be the number. And the reason it is because it's not enough for a career. You can't do something for 12 years and call it a career. You really need 30 years for it to be a career. So if you keep it to 12 years, that means someone else has to have actually done something else or do something else.
So you're talking about senators only 2 terms, and for congressmen, 6 terms.
Yeah, or 3 and 1, you know, because it's 12 total. You can't jump the system by, doing 12 and one and then 12 and the other. It's 12 altogether, so take your pick.
Well, again, that sounds good on paper and in theory, but there is a reality that, let's begin with just the House, the Congress. As my audience knows, and you certainly do as well, every 2 years they're up for re-election. They no sooner get sworn in than they've got to start thinking about fundraising and how they're going to stay in office for the next run, now less than 2 years away. So they're always planning that next stage, unless something opens up with a big cash door in front of them that they can move into the private sector, or an opening in a Senate where they can move in. And I like experienced legislators in place, not the swamp, but you don't really know what you're doing the first 2 years, maybe even the first 3 years, even as a senator.
Well, how's it working for us now, Larry?
Well, you're right. That was my next question. You jumped the shark on it, but go ahead. Go ahead, Barry.
You know, I mean, here we are. Everything is broken. So, like, at some point in time, you know, the definition of insanity, right, is doing the same thing over and over again and hoping it's for a different result. You know, so for sure, the first 3 years, you're finding your way, but that means you've got 9 productive years. And just like a team, we don't, you know, just because Tom Brady was great, he doesn't stay on a team for 30 years.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you on that point. I just wanted your thoughts. I mean, it's back to that line that, what do you call a doctor graduate at the bottom of the class? Still a doctor, right? So they would be a congressman or senator for a period of time, whether they've got experience or not. And to that extent, some of them may even have a plus 12 years. They still have not learned a damn thing about our Constitution.
Well, another thing that this reinforces the term limits, we thought a lot about this, and I've worked with a lot of vets and other really concerned Americans on this topic. We didn't come up with 12 years lately. And the reality is, it's the type of person you attract. Mm-hmm. If you tell someone they can have a job for life because they know it has a 98% reelection rate and a lot of perks, and they also know that, you know, they many of them leave millionaires. If you tell someone they can have a job for life versus someone you can only do it for 12 years, you're talking about attracting the difference between a person that is in the public service versus self-service. That's a big character distinction. And we want to attract people that are in the public service, and that's the 12-year group.
Well, when we're talking about term limits then, let's move into the federal courts and specifically the Supreme Court. Lifetime. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I believe because the legislature is electing them and they're elected by us, that actually I'm good with the lifetime commitment and the stability of the Supreme Court. I'm very, very comfortable with that. I don't think it's broken. I certainly am against hacking it or changing it. I think the Supreme Court actually is one of the only things that's working now.
But again, since you made a point, and I'm not saying the justices are in it for personal gain and making money in the process, but at the same time, you get someone that is totally out of step with the Constitution, and they're there for life.
Well, you know, I'm willing to debate the topic. I have not, you know, having not been a lawyer ever, thank God, I don't spend a lot of my mind share, you know, On this topic, I spent a lot of my topic on the direct election of legislators. Okay. I ran for U.S. Senate, so this is kind of where my mind share goes. Certainly, let's start with term limits on the people that are stealing all the money, which is, Washington, D.C.
All right, so you were a former candidate from Rhode Island for the Senate.
Yes.
Obviously, you did not win. Did you run only one time? How big was the loss?
Well, I ran one time. It was a good old fashioned whooping. I got
by your own party.
I got stabbed in the front by the Democrats and the back by the Republicans. I was an early something's rotten in Denmark kind of guy about some of the uniparty stuff, Mitch McConnell and others that we see. John McCain stabbed me in the back. John Cornyn. They were not interested in supporting people that were, doing it for constitutional reasons like me. They were really just about perpetuating the machine. So it was an eye-opening experience. But, the real problem we had in Rhode Island, and we still have, and I saw in 2012, that there was immense voter corruption then. And that was before the mail-in votes. Now it was back in 2012. So just imagine what.
So if you were elected, how would you think you'd be standing?
How would I be standing on what?
How would you be surviving in the Senate with what
Hopefully
you're telling me?
Hopefully well.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the biggest thing I think down there is the guys that I look up to are like Ron Johnson, Chuck Grassley. Like Ron Johnson is a fantastic human being. I met with him. I spoke with him. He is so true blue American and there for all the right reasons. I would hope that if I was there, and that was 12 years ago, and I was still there, that I would be, honoring the legacy of people like Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley, quite frankly.
Well, very quickly, since you brought up Ron Johnson, what about Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House battle that he's got going on while members of his party are saying, let's do the circus route again and throw you out like we did McCarthy?
It's a real tough, I'm not him and I'm not in his position. I was disappointed with the whole FISA argument. I've been clear on all the other shows I've done and everything I talk about publicly that our three-letter agencies have been, definitely violating the trust that we're supposed to have with our government and our constitutional protections. I also am trying to put myself in his shoes, balancing up, a two- or three-person majority.
Right.
Not an easy situation.
Yeah, difficult. And everything can be checked out, folks, at redeclaration.org, redeclaration.org. Barry Hinckley, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
You bet. Coming up, a message from Prime Minister Netanyahu. Very strong, standing firm message. Standing by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
And it's bad.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, let me recap where we stand with Israel and Hamas and the exchange of words, words versus missiles and weapons directly into each other's country. Of course, Iran did fire into Israel the other day. Numerous rockets, missiles. That was after a Syrian embassy was hit, or rather a Syrian compound, where Iran says that was part of our embassy, killed one, injured, or rather killed 12. That was on April 1. Two of them were Iranian generals. And Israel says it was not an embassy of any type. It was basically a command center that they were using in Syria. Well, of course, Iran blamed them for it and then launched their attack, missile and drone attack over the weekend, launching hundreds of missiles and drones as a response. And now, of course, as we'd pointed out earlier, the President Rossi, during a military parade that took place north of the capital, Tehran, was saying basically, we will have a harsh and massive response if Israel dares to attack us, as they just did to Israel. Interesting, by the way, state TV did not broadcast that parade, that military parade, live as it had previously. And you heard from Jordan earlier, one of the neighboring nations, basically saying, whoever gets us involved in something like this, we're going to be dealing with, be it Iran or Israel. And Jordan, along with the United Kingdom and other neighboring nations, helped intercept nearly every missile and rocket and drone sent by Iran into Israel. And the Iranian president and the Ayatollah stating nothing would remain if Israel launches even the tiniest invasion. And, of course, the response you would expect from Benjamin Netanyahu, very clear as well. He left no doubt in his statement today, saying Israel will do whatever it needs to defend itself. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? And again, who fired the first shot? This is right back to October 7. There was peace, an unsteady peace, not always perfect, and yes, there were deaths from time to time anyway, unfortunately, but there was peace until Hamas terrorists raided parts of Israel, killing, torturing, raping, capturing Israeli citizens or anyone they could grab. And in fact, they grabbed some from several nations, not just Israel, because some were at that concert. One of those survivors of that concert had said that some of those who did survive, according to this source, about 50 of them have since committed suicide. Israel is not confirming that. But one of those who was there says, I know there have been at least 50 deaths, suicides. They escaped the attack by Hamas, but maybe they lost a loved one, or they're grieving, or they see no purpose for themselves and thinking maybe they should have also died. You can't imagine what goes through someone's mind when they are enjoying at one moment a great music festival and next thing they're dodging bullets and grenades, paragliders coming over them with terrorists. But Benjamin Netanyahu stated very simply in a written statement, Israel will do whatever it needs to defend itself. And this came after separate meetings with the British Foreign Secretary and the German Foreign Minister. They were meeting with him in Israel, and they apparently were discussing actions Israel could pursue to retaliate for Iran's direct attack on Israel over the weekend. The prime minister did add in his statement, "They have all sorts of suggestions and advice. I appreciate that, but I want to be clear. Our decision we will make ourselves, as they should." But, of course, you're still going to have many blame Israel if anything escalates. Now, again, the guest I had on Monday talking about that attack, Fred Flights, 25 to 30 years in intelligence agencies, said he would think the first response would be to target Iranian targets outside Iran. He said, "I wouldn't rule out them hitting something actually inside the country, but I think they'd be looking for those targets outside. They know where they are in most cases. They'll look for an opportunity and with minimum collateral damage. But at some point, it might be that they're going to have to shoot directly into Iran, and there is where things are going to get really hot in a hurry." So you need to keep all of that in your prayers. By the way, as you'd well know, and I've stated to you previously, we had Joe Biden in Scranton, Pennsylvania yesterday. Pennsylvania, well known for steel, right? And he says he's a blue-collar worker, lunch pail Joe, right? Well, Biden declared yesterday, declared today, I should say, after being with the blue-collar workers in Pennsylvania, he denied there's any kind of trade war with China, despite calling for a hike in steel tariffs. He was unveiling the latest in a series of protectionist measures in a campaign speech to U.S. steelworkers in Pittsburgh, the second day of his three-day swing through that state, which he did win from Donald Trump in 2020, narrowly. Trump took it away from Hillary Clinton. He won that in 2016. Biden ends up winning it last time, narrowly. And Biden was all set to call for a tripling in tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum, saying that Beijing was undercutting U.S. production by manipulating Chinese products. Of course, Trump, along with Biden, do promise to revive American manufacturing. Beijing reacting furiously after Washington said it was going to launch a probe into Chinese shipbuilding following a complaint by unions, including the United Steelworkers. Biden won their backing last month of the union, I should say, not necessarily the members, but the union leadership, as he opposed a bid by Japan's Nippon Steel to take over the Pittsburgh-based U.S. Steel. And when he was asked by reporters, "Are you worried about a potential for a standoff with the Beijing?" he said, "No trade war." Well, I beg to differ. You do have a trade war underway right now. Bill Barr, by the way, was saying he would probably end up voting for, yes, Bill Barr, former prosecutor, and also had nasty things to say about Trump on the way as well, and Trump after him. But Barr said a vote for Biden would be suicide. So he doesn't see a way that he's going to do anything to help Biden at that point. I'm looking at some of the other things dealing with Donald Trump and, of course, this trial that they've got him tied up in. And one of the Trump lawyers pointing out that the Democrat Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is, quote, attempting to stack the deck against Trump in jury selection. Trump lawyer Jesse Banal said, "They're trying to find out if you have ever been involved in supporting President Trump at all over the years. But they don't ask the same questions regarding Joe Biden." Now, Biden is not on trial, that I understand. But if you're going to deal into someone's politics, you should also know not did they or did they not support Trump, but did you support Joe Biden? That would be a natural. Oh, but we're not talking about coming up with a legitimate jury. Bragg has charged Trump with 34 felonies, accusing him of falsifying business records. He took basically misdemeanor charges, ratcheted it up, and turning them into felonies. and one of the attorneys for Trump, Benall, said, you base much of this jury selection on those questionnaires that they've been sent. It's all very much in favor of the prosecution, stacking the jury. And again, some of the questions, what media organizations do you get your news from? Looking for people who might be listening to talk radio. Larry Connors, are you listening to Larry? No, they didn't put my name in. But they're also asking that and watching what cable news shows. Are you watching some that Trump might watch? He said they're focusing on a lot of questions. Find out if you ever supported Donald Trump in any possible way. Well, there are going to be more to come on that, obviously, as we move forward. Same thing with the Mayorkas impeachment in front of the Senate. We do know that we have House Republicans continuing to get over the top when it comes to Speaker Mike Johnson as he's pushing foreign aid framework that includes three times as much money for Ukraine as it does for Israel, and again, not really dealing with U.S. southern border. In fact, Congressman Scott Perry wrote, he said, the bills allocate $48.8 billion to Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, which they offered that to Schumer right after October 7. And he neglected it because there's no money for Ukraine. And then $2.4 billion for Red Sea operations, $2.5 billion, I should say, for the Indo area. Another $3 billion for a submarine industrial base. But the border? Notice anything missing, as Perry wrote? Nothing incorporated regarding the border security into any of those four bills. I think that's a big mistake on behalf of Mike Johnson. I almost made a big mistake today. I came so close. I have to admit that MSNBC's Morning Joe was making sense to me in some of his comments. It did. I was adding, as listening to him, saying, amen, amen. But then, he said the quiet part out loud.
You live in the most powerful, greatest country on the face of the earth?
Yes.
And you're voting for a guy that tells you every day that America sucks? What's wrong with you? Who raised you?
Yeah.
What history did you read?
That's it.
Yeah. Like, where are you from? Because you may claim to be from where I'm from, but you were not raised by the same teachers I was raised by. And you don't read.
Yeah.
Because if you read, Mike, the facts are clear.
Yeah.
And I'm getting tired of saying this to people who claim to be patriotic but hate America.
That'd be Biden group.
Because yeah. They're always running America down.
Yes, they are.
They're always trashing America. Yes. They're always saying America's horrible. Its democracy doesn't work.
Amen.
We need a dictatorship if Donald Trump doesn't win.
Uh-oh.
I'm tired of people running America down.
Uh-oh. There you did it. You dropped that Trump word in there. In my silly, stupid wake from slumber this morning, thought he was talking about Joe Biden and all the woke crowd running America down all the time, saying you hate America, will not even stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, will not utter the words. There's a systemically racist nation holding everybody down, not letting people get up and have a real chance. No, he was not talking about Biden and the woke. He was laying it all at the feet of Donald Trump and those of us who believe in this country. I've told you, I often ask people when they start questioning about what I really believe in and how they might disagree with some of my viewpoints, which you're entitled to disagree. My question is very simple. Which I thought Morning Joe would even be in the same side with me. When I ask, are you a patriot? A patriot does not endorse and support the kind of actions like he was listing, running this country down, saying you hate it, you don't like it, it's wrong. on all those points, that's exactly what we've heard from Biden and the woke left. Biden doesn't have to say it directly. He just, well, it's back to that old adage. You lay down with a dog that has fleas, you're going to get up and have fleas. And Biden is covered in them with the woke crowd that he's got around him. And they don't love America. If they did, they would not have an open border. Let's start right there. Much less the woke indoctrination taking place in our schools, trying to prey upon the minds of our children, turning them against their parents, which is basically one of the main tenets of communism and Marxism. Your parents know nothing. Well, every teenager I know at any point in their life, at some point, has said, yeah, I know more than mom and dad. I do. And then you realize, actually, they're pretty smart. And then you're at a point in your life where you're calling mom or dad for their advice and their expertise. But the woke crowd says, no, we know everything, and let's begin by separating you from your parents, and let's change your gender while we're at it. We're going to do you a whole new makeover. Won't you feel pretty? And look stupid. And give up your claim to being part of the most blessed nation in the world. Do not let them win. Fight them every step. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.